you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Actors, right? The road to fame and celebrity. All right, I get it. You've had an incredible life.
Aren't you sick of hearing about them?
Me too.
The only problem is, I'm one of them. Except I'm not famous. Oh, you've probably seen me. A bunch of times. I'm the guy with the information about the hero's dad. I'm the doctor that can't figure out what's wrong with one of the main characters. I'm the guy they just punched in the face during the interrogation. My name's Brian LaFontaine, and I'm a professional actor. Oh, and it's not just me. There's a ton of us.
We're the ones you don't hear about.
Yeah, we're the names that scroll by at lightning speed during the end credits, but there's way more of us than there are of them. We're important too, dammit, because without us, they can't tell the rest of the story. So this is for all the movie and TV prostitutes, homeless people, drug dealers, cab drivers, cops numbers 2, 3, and sometimes 4, the pilots, the waitresses, and girl at party.
This is You May Have Seen. Okay, knock knock, who's there?
Somebody who's much better at writing jokes and being funny than I am.
It's my good friend Jason Alan King.
When I met this guy, he was working behind the scenes in the movie business. Now, he's one of the hardest working and most sought after comedians in the area. We talk stand-up, of course. Bombing, of course. Directing a movie. Wait, what? Yeah, he did that too. And what it's like trying to navigate your way through show business as a comedian and actor. So, here we go.
So,
do
first,
I need to be super close? By the way?
I mean, you know how to stay on mic.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you could shake it as much as possible and bang the table, like, that would be awesome, too. If you could just, yeah. Well, no, I'm, yeah, just keep moving your chair.
Yeah.
Yep, keep shifting.
Yeah.
So, I'm not concerned about you doing that. First of all, what the fuck? You're late.
I know.
What the hell?
I'm late. I haven't.
I invite you. You show up late.
Yeah.
What if I just do the whole thing just hostile?
Do it.
Just be hostile.
I'll be totally fine with
the
that.
The whole interview, I'll ask you a question, you start to tell the story, and I'll be like, fuck you, you lie. That never happened.
You were late, and you were a piece of shit. I'm assuming that's how this is going to go. I wouldn't even be upset by it. I'd be like, yeah, you know what, that's right.
That's pretty spot on. I've earned that. That's what I've earned. So, Jason Alan King, where may we have seen you?
You may have seen me at the Comedy Zone touring down the East Coast. That's, I think, my main thing. Also, maybe on the internets. I know. We've invested a lot into it.
A lot of
it.
Pornography?
Yep.
Be more specific. Where in the internets?
John Short and I, who was a mutual friend of ours, we have a... We're calling it a web series, but we do
series of shorts,
of short films of the same character,
right?
Getting into different sort of hijinks where we've gotten now into cutting ourselves into commercials and things like that,
right?
It's comedy related. We've pared them all down now to where we can get them on Instagram because they're like a minute.
Yeah,
the most we do is like 4 minutes now.
Right,
we're taking the lead on some things. So we're pumping those out as much as we can and whenever we have time because we're both so busy.
That's the George and Monty series
George
that you're talking
Monty,
about.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, do me a favor. Pull that a little closer to you. Either you slide in or move the mic a little closer to you. Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
How's that?
Yeah. Oh, good. I mean, the interview's ruined, but other than that, everything's great.
We didn't have high hopes that I was going to be interesting.
We did not. You know, let's not lowball you. You're a hyphenate. So many hyphens. You're a comedian, actor, writer, producer, location manager, director.
Well,
I don't even know who I'm sitting with right now.
We can lowball it all day long. I can pick apart all of those things that you just mentioned.
So many hyphens.
I don't think I'm much in the director thing anymore. But
you've
okay.
done it.
But I've done it. Yeah, I've done a couple things.
You've done some things.
Some things, a little bit here
right.
and there.
Yeah,
I don't put my focus on that anymore. So I'm more interested in doing comedy and getting in front of the camera now. That's
right.
kind of my thing. Yeah.
Right. So touring the Comedy Zone with the Comedy Zone up and down the East Coast, is it primarily them that you work through, or
no,
are you working
club wise? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, because you know the answers. I don't.
So club wise, I do work with the Comedy Zone. I am getting work with like Looney Bins and a couple like standalone clubs.
Okay.
I also do. Brewery tour.
Right.
There's a guy in New York who books comics who go all over the country doing it. I mean, I've been to Wisconsin to, I mean, you name it, like Michigan,
yes,
New Hampshire,
yes,
Florida, like, yes, all over the place, Texas. So it's kind of, it's fun to do that because that's, I right, get to close those shows. So I'm doing 45 minutes.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
So you're now like the brewery tour headliner.
I mean,
if we're going to put a label on it.
I hate to use the term headliner. That usually means selling tickets. And you know,
I know, right? I'm right. Like, so whoever shows
no one's buying tickets to see the hyphenated Jason Allen King, the obnoxious three-name Jason.
That's what you need to start promoting yourself as. I mean, you already made yourself Jason Allen King, so I think you're setting yourself up.
I do. I need to explain why that is, by the way.
Because your middle name is Allen?
Yes. I didn't just pick a random one.
You don't love Allen King that much?
Right. I had to do that because if you remember back in like 2015, 2016, there was a lot going on, politically.
Sure.
And because I know using three names is kind of obnoxious, not to impugn anyone who uses all three names, but
right,
it's not normally something I would do, but there was a guy with a very similar name to mine, exactly. I won't say what his name is, but he has the exact
Mason
same
Spring.
Name. Yeah. He started saying some pretty incendiary, racist kind of stuff. And I had some friends of mine, some African-American friends of mine who reached out to me on the down low and said, hey man, I really thought we knew who you were as a person.
Oh,
I didn't realize.
Shit.
Yeah, it was, I didn't know what to do. It's like,
wow.
First of all, I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Yep.
What? So they sent me to this post for this guy. So I was like, guys, hang on a second. That's not me. I'm not that person. So I went on to this guy's rant and was like, hey, for anyone reading this, we're different people. I'm not this Jason King.
God.
I'm now Jason Allen King. So I went on his post and then went on my page and I changed my name on there to Jason Allen King. I was like,
wow,
here's what went down. So that's why I use all three names.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, right?
I had no idea.
Yeah, and I still have this fear that some friends and colleagues maybe don't they have that inkling in the back of their head. That's it kind of broke my heart to think that people would think
all
that.
All you gotta do is look up the two different people. I'm sure you look nothing
different
alike.
Picture. I know. It's the whole, yeah. So anyway, so that's why I use all three names.
Wow, that's crazy. Did you ever do a bit about that?
No.
No, because it's not funny.
It's not funny. No.
I mean, we can laugh about it now. You're okay.
I laugh about it all the time.
Oh,
followed by
God.
Tears. Yeah, so that's
Holy
why I do that.
Crap. Wow. All right.
So anyway. So yeah, so I do. So I tour with them. I'm getting more clubs. You know, by the month, I'm getting, you know,
right,
people reaching out, and I've got some headliners I've worked with who are vouching for me and getting me in more doors and stuff. So it's kind of great.
That's amazing. I mean, that's your primary profession right now, right? The production stuff, the location stuff that you're still doing. That's really filling the gaps.
I would say, I'm paying the bills with my production work as a location manager.
All right.
I'm paying the bills with that. The comedy, you don't make money doing
still,
comedy.
I know, which still shocks me that hasn't changed very much.
It's a nice sort of secondary little bit of income,
right,
but you know, I'm still putting as much into it as I'm getting out of it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, you're spending as much time, if not more, doing comedy, whether it just be traveling and doing the shows and all the stuff that goes around that, as you are, I'm sure, doing the production work.
Yeah. Definitely. I probably spend more time, definitely doing comedy and working on comedy and writing and doing all that stuff, for sure. And I'd love that to be my main source of income and just not have to do anything else. It would be wonderful.
Remind me again, did you go to film school?
I did not.
You did not go to film school?
No. I was making little dinky short films even before I moved to Charlotte. I moved to Charlotte 18 years ago.
Because you're from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. That's right. And I came down here sort of on a whim. My brother said, why don't you come down, try it out, new city kind of thing. I came down and I learned that there was, if you remember, there was the, I think it was just called the Charlotte Film and Video Association.
Okay, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And I went there and actually, it's like I had an epiphany, right? So I went there and somebody was shooting, they were trying to crew up a spec commercial they were doing.
Okay.
And it was for the National Fruit Council.
Okay.
And and the lead in it was Rob Travolier. He was dressed I believe he was in a wolf costume.
Oh, Jesus.
And I can't remember the other actor who was in it, who was like grapes. He was like a bunch of grapes. And yeah, it was fantastic. And it was a great job because I did everything on it. I mean, I was holding the camera at some point, booming. I was everything, you name it. And that was like this big epiphany because I'd never done that before. Mm-hmm. And so I volunteered for that and a handful of other jobs. And then I just stopped looking for other work. And I was like, wow. Okay, I do this now. Yeah.
So the film industry just kind of found you.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just showed up. My brother was like, hey, I heard this meeting's going on. You've been talking about film. You do stuff. You should go check it out. Randomly went. He's like, I need a PA. And I was like, hey, what's that? I could do that, yeah, sure. Yeah. That's how that went, really.
And then he took a dump in a Ziploc bag and handed it to you.
Yeah.
Said, yeah, like, hold this until I tell you I need it.
Yep.
Welcome to being a PA.
That's being a PA right there. You nailed it. You just crushed it.
I've done PA. I've held many of Ziploc bags of poop.
Yeah. But what's funny is that I tell people about with production is that it wasn't, I had that epiphany that day, but I had a list of about 50, 60, 70 people that I called mm-hmm. about every 3 weeks and said, hey, it's Jason King trying to get in the business.
Yeah.
What do I got to do?
Sure.
We don't need anybody right now. You probably don't want to do this.
We don't need anybody right now.
I went and like met people and was like, hey, I'm trying to get in film. What do I do? And they're all like, yeah, go work for the bank. Don't do this.
Whatever.
So many people told me that was great.
Whatever.
But it took a good 6 months before I got kind of consistent work. So it definitely found me, but I worked real hard to get in.
Sure. Well, what the hell were you going to do when you grew up? I mean, what was the plan from the beginning? If this kind of accidentally happened and you were just making little short films for yourself for fun, what the hell did you go to school for? What?
I have an English degree.
Okay.
And
you
I
speak
did
it
that.
Very well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it shows.
I kind of knew it already, but... wasn't good enough, you know. It was the only thing that I was ever good at. Is it the right brain with the math and all that business? I can't even count very high. If I'm being honest, that
good. Count to seven.
Don't make me do it. So I just was like, well, I'm gonna go just to school for what I think I'm pretty decent at. And mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be a writer. That's really what it is.
Okay.
And that shifted until about 16 or so. 15 maybe mm-hmm. when Pump Up the Volume came out.
Oh, wow.
Really, that's specific. That movie came out and I was like, nope, that's it. I want to do that. I'm gonna stop writing plays and short stories. I'm gonna start writing scripts.
Is that Christian Slater?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I never saw that, but I know of the film. I remember it.
It was like that Heather's, you know,
era.
A couple years of that stuff. And
wasn't that also Christian Slater?
Yeah.
Are you a closet Slater fan?
Yeah. I'm a big Christian Slater. Yeah, absolutely. Jeez. Yeah, I used to get made fun of for it. I was like, yeah, that guy, he's just cool, you know? He was like, to me, he was like James Dean, man. Everyone liked James Dean.
Sure.
Right.
So you fell for it. You fell for it. Yep.
Sure. Yeah. Totally. I just thought he was like the coolest, you know? And I'm like, all right. I want to do that. I want to get into film and stuff. I liked movies anyway, but it always seemed very sort of far away.
Yeah.
You know? And, and I had actually told friends, like, yeah, I'll probably be a screenwriter, like when I'm in high school.
Sure.
And now it's kind of awesome that. I work in film now. It's kind of amazing. Yeah.
And just show business in general. So you did production for a long time, and you've actually done quite a bit of stuff. I mean, you were a location manager on Talladega Nights. Mm-hmm. What's Will Ferrell really like?
He's awesome.
Oh, Leatherheads? What's George Clooney really like?
He's a beautiful man in every way. Inside.
Location manager on The Hunger Games, Homeland, The Trial. What's Burgess Jenkins really like?
We call him the Burge.
Right, we do.
Yeah.
We do. Janky. So you were a production guy for a long time, but then something happened.
Something happened. It was John Short and I.
Yeah.
It was the stuff. We actually, the first film we did together, we've done a couple features together, but the first on-camera thing, we hadn't done anything together in a while. Mm-hmm. CFC had a contest. They have some little rules in there. And they'll do just a little contest to keep people working.
Right.
And John and I kind of took the bait and we were like, yeah, let's do something just for fun because we haven't done anything in a while. So we wrote a script, shot it, and we enjoyed the hell out of the process, obviously. And, we're buddies.
Right.
And we have first time us, you know, doing things together on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of, a little bit of a light bulb went off. So like, this was kind of fun and it was successful.
Right.
So we said, well, maybe let's do another one just for fun. And then, you know.
Is this how George and Monty came to be?
Exactly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And from that, from getting on camera and writing those scripts, because that's something John wrote the features that we were doing. And
Right.
And you know, that's really what I want to do more so, I think, than anything else is to be able to do that and make a living at that. So it was like, okay, well, let's start writing stuff together, a little short film. Mm-hmm. This turned into the getting on camera.
Yeah.
And I actually found out that the Comedy Zone here has a class.
Yes.
Stand-up comedy, right?
Yes.
And I was like, I need to be able to write better comedic scripts. Mm-hmm. What's the anatomy of a joke? What are the different kinds of joke? What's TV joke writing versus this other?
Wow.
So I was like, oh, I'll go take a stand-up class. And about three classes in,
yep.
I had that moment of like, oh, no, this is a problem. Yeah, this is too much fun. I didn't think I would enjoy the performance side of it. Mm-hmm. I think I've always been sort of a little bit of a closet, like, oh, I think I would like to be an actor. I would like to try that. And I just never did it.
Well, I mean, because we were, you know, obviously we worked on Insignificant Others mm-hmm. together, which was directed by John. And you were, what was your...
The manager?
Yeah, but you were also like, what was your... I'm so sorry, but were you a producer on that?
The Insignificant Others, I was a co-producer.
Yeah, you were a co-producer.
Production manager.
And then, yes, John threw you in there for one scene as the club manager, which was right. hysterical because you get to rag on Scarborough, which is always fun.
There's nothing better. My first time on camera ripping on Scrabby, as we call him. That's amazing.
And I know that we talked about this in another podcast, which we'll talk about as well, is that I was playing a stand-up comedian. So I was just like, you know, did you see what I was doing? And you thought, wow, I really want to be like Brian, or did you actually watch and go, well, fuck, if this guy can do it, I can.
Most of the time when I see you, I'm like, I want to be like Brian. How do I be like Brian?
Because I mean, but seriously, like to take the step to go into the comedy class, the stand-up mm-hmm. class, that's a bold move. That's a bold move, knowing that you're going to have to... I mean, and you're not a shy guy. You're a very outgoing guy.
Sure, yeah.
You don't seem to be really afraid of too much or afraid of looking like an idiot.
Right.
Which, I mean, but stand-up is all about that,
yeah.
You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's, to me, though, that's a bold move for you to go, yeah, I'll take a stand-up class where I'm going to have to stand up in front of a microphone with a bunch of fucking strangers and say shit and hope that they laugh. I mean...
And if I'm being honest, I've never been the funniest guy in the group. I'm just not that guy. I think I'm a good hang.
You are a good
hang. I'm cool to hang out with, but
yeah, great
I don't
hang.
Think I'm the funniest guy in the world, you know? So for me, it was, I think I was relying on the writing aspect of it. I was like, I think we've written some pretty funny things. Let's go see if I can turn this into something else.
Yeah.
And again, to me, I felt like the joke writing was going to be fairly strong, but it was the performance where I was like, oh, this is... It just kind of made sense. It felt right. It felt good to do it. I wasn't like... I wasn't scared.
Was there truly a moment? I mean, I know that you said like by the third class, but was there something?
So when I took it, it was my girlfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one who really kind of prompted it because I talked about it a little bit. And she's like, there's a class. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, let's do it. So we signed up together. And that was sort of, I think, part of the... You're saying... Still crazy to go do that. I got a little help, you know.
Yep.
And but it was, you know, first class was very exciting. It's like, oh my god, this is crazy. We're mm-hmm. doing that. Second class was like, it's still there. It's still at a very heightened sense.
So they put you on your feet right from the get go.
Right. Yeah. Right out the gate. And then so we were writing material, and they said you got to get out and you need to go do some time at an open mic.
Right.
So I did an open mic, and. After doing the open mic in the third class, it was like, ah, man, this is going to change my life. And not to sound like overdramatic, but it was, I could just feel it. I just knew. I was like, this is going to be a problem because the stuff that was motivating me, you know, 3 weeks before, wasn't doing it anymore.
No, I mean,
and it hit me at a time too, because I was doing Homeland at mm-hmm. the time, which filming a TV, an episodic shoot is the most grueling thing that you could do.
Yes,
At least on the production side.
Right.
I'm in a role there as a location manager where you never stop. If you're not prepping, you're shooting. If you're not shooting, you're wrapping it up and you're doing all that simultaneously. It is just, it's 17-hour days. It's
six
days a week, sometimes more for months, for like 7 months or something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't always the best experience, and you know, with different people, it's a lot of a togetherness.
Yep.
So I was coming off of that, feeling a little disenfranchised from film anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of this little perfect storm was happening. Stand-up comedy kind of arrived, and And that's when it was tectonic yeah. shift of, oh no, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then my day-to-day changed. I hang out with different people as a result of this. I considered myself a writer before, mm-hmm. like before that.
Right.
And I realized that I wasn't. It wasn't until stand-up comedy that I write every day. I write something every single day.
Wow.
I'm always working on a joke.
Good
I'm
for
going
you.
Over. So I feel like a writer now.
I would say that that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
You know,
when I was, you know, 16, I was like, I'm writing short stories and stuff. None of that counted. Until now, I see just in terms of
right.
now
right.
I see it. Now I feel like I'm a professional writer. I would feel confident going into most rooms, not with an ego, just
knowing that you've got something to bring to the table.
That's right.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. And I mean, it makes total sense. I mean, it was the same. Not the same, but doing stand up for me that first time was life changing.
Yeah.
Even though I don't do it anymore, but it shifted me and. Yeah. It has a big part as to where I am now and what I'm doing now,
sure. I believe that.
So yeah. I totally, totally get that. What was that first showcase like? What was your...
In the class you do, I think it's 7 weeks, and in the 8th week you do a show.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it's 6 weeks, and the 7th week you do a show. And it's 300 people.
Yeah.
And it is, and they sell, and they'll tell you this, that it's going to be the best audience you'll ever perform in front of, because it's friends, it's
right.
family, it's
yep.
club people, it's
yes.
everyone, and everyone wants you to do well. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really, they really tee it up so that you have a good experience. And
you guys are really well prepared at that point.
We're very well prepared,
yeah.
And we worked hard at it. And
sure.
once we got in there and we're doing this, everyone has that same thing where you're like, this is happening.
Yep.
There's no stopping this. So
yep.
get your shit together,
mm-hmm.
work hard and do it right. And we did that, and it was amazing. It was like, it changed everything. It was so much goddamn fun, man.
And that was like 6 years ago now, right?
Five and a half. I mean,
five and
March,
a half
March 7th, I believe, was our, I think, was the...
Your five-year anniversary, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My goodness. And, like, a lot has happened to you since then, stand-up-wise. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got this reputation. You've been recognized as one of the area's top comedians.
That's
recently
fun.
Voted Charlotte's favorite comedian by Elevate Lifestyle. King has opened for renowned comedians like Rob Schneider, Christopher Titus, Colin Quinn, and Dave Attell. Other notable honors include It's a Southern Thing's One of 15 Southern Comics to Watch and Best of the Fest at the Burbank Comedy Festival. King also writes and stars in the popular web series George and Monty, which was invited to screen at the LA Comedy Shorts Festival. Yeah, I just pulled this straight off of your website. I mean, I'm not going to work that fucking hard to do research on
no,
it.
I
just went straight to your website and pulled it off. Yes. But that's huge, though.
Oh, it's great, man. It's great. Dude, I
mean, when you first started, when you did that first class and that first, showcase, did you think that this is...
I thought that would be... I have aspirations, obviously.
Sure.
But the idea of going and working with some of these people, it was like, well, yeah, sure, in 5 years, like, maybe I'll be able to do something. And
right.
And it was 6 months, I think, before I hosted for the first time.
Wow.
So, yeah, like 6 months in, doing 5 minutes at the Comedy Zone, mm-hmm. just knees knocking together, scared to death.
How could you not be?
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, it was awesome. And now I've opened for, and that those are the people that I've featured for. So, like, doing 30 minutes, like a proper open. But, like, hosting, man, I've worked with everybody, and it's so much fun. I can't, like, Bill Burr for crying out loud.
That's nuts. Insane. That is insane.
Totally. Dave Attell, like I said, he's one of my favorites, and,
right.
and I got to work with him twice now. It's like, what is going
God.
On?
Yeah. Now, do you have those moments like you see on TV, like comedy specials or whatever, or where like all the comedians are hanging at the back of the club? Like smoking and drinking and telling stories and making fun of each other and shit like that.
not as much as I would like, but I think it's like for comedy, and because you go through all of the shit.
Right.
You go to the open mics, you do the grind on shows where nobody's there, and it's, there's just 1,000 of these shows that you do that that are not glamorous or anything.
No,
nothing exciting about
it.
You do all that, so you get 15 minutes opening for Christopher Titus,
mm-hmm.
who's just like a legend in comedy.
Sure.
Because, I think something had a day to death in the family. His opener couldn't be there, and they called me. By the way,
mm-hmm.
when I was doing the... I was the leprechaun in the commercial.
Yes, I was going to talk about that too. Well, not specifically that, but yes.
But it was kind of a fun day where I got a call from the owner of the club.
Yep.
He said, what are you doing? Can you make it to the theater
yep.
By 6:15 or something. Yeah. And I was like, yes, I can. I'm in the, literally dressed as a leprechaun.
Yes.
Going, I hope so.
And you're on a commercial shoot, which you have no idea when the hell they're going to wrap.
Yeah. Jesus. My first like real commercial shoot,
right.
Truly. And he's like, Titus needs an opener. I need 15 minutes clean. I'll see you there.
Wow.
You know, click kind of thing. So that was a big day. And you went to talk about things changing.
No,
you know?
Joke.
It was amazing. Yeah.
So. Yes. So, so you've done some commercials. Mm-hmm. You have done some independent films. You were in a movie called Pink. You got something coming up with Gary Busey, which is amazing.
Right? Yeah.
What's the name of that one again?
Reggie.
Reggie. Yeah. Okay.
It's a really quirky little indie that I'm kind of excited to see, actually.
Yeah, you should be. The George and Monty series is part of Funny or Die?
It was.
It was.
It was. They okay. Funny or Die is kind of going away if it's not already
is
gone.
It really?
Yeah.
No, they, see, that shows how out of touch I am.
Well, it's been happening for a while. Actually, when we were at the LA Shorts Festival, they recommended to us at that point.
Mm-hmm.
To you might want to start moving off to a different format
because
it's gone away.
Yeah. Okay.
So they kind of purged everybody except for their celebrity contributors.
I'm sure it's just things run their course.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but it was a nice sort of feather in our cap to be on like showing up on the main page and, you know, alongside all these amazing people. So we felt good about that. But it was also hard to track and you want to know who's watching and where they're at so you can sort of promote to that. And honestly, Facebook's metrics for that are pretty great.
Yeah.
Even better, I think, than YouTube. It's just driving people to YouTube.
Sure.
It's not really... I don't know. Do people go and just hang out on YouTube for a while?
Oh, people do because they're going to look for something specific as opposed to Facebook where, you know, it's people that you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are good. We've got, I think, I want to say like 20,000 views on some of them. I mean, none of them are like,
wow, that's pretty impressive.
I think so. We're pretty, for a couple of knuckleheads like doing these things. Yeah. We feel really good about them. So.
Right. More with Jason Alan King in just a minute. You're listening to You May Have Seen, proud member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. There are so many great podcasts on the network, and they're adding new ones all the time, showcasing great stories by great people and shining a spotlight on the Queen City. You can find them all at queencitypodcastnetwork.com. Shoutouts! I want to take a minute to recognize some of the other great local comedians that you may have seen at a comedy club near you. Todd Riley, Will Jacobs, Jay Bliss, Ryan Van Genderen, Blair Nias, hope I'm saying that right, Tara Brown, Sid Davis. These people are all hysterical. You can find them all online and find TV clips, show clips, performance scheduling, you name it. Be sure to keep an eye out for them in your neighborhood theaters and comedy clubs. And I have to give a huge shout out and thank you to Beth Pesikoff, who gave the podcast an amazing post on social media. I couldn't be more grateful. If you're planning a vacation getaway for your family or just for yourself, you should check her out on the web, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Let's Talk Travel with Beth. You'll be glad you did. Okay, here's more with Jason Alan King. You're talking about having your knees knock, getting the call to come and open for these people, whether it be last minute or however many days or weeks in advance. And at the same time, though, you have been trying to get work as an actor. You've taken some classes, you know, things like that. You're auditioning whenever you can.
Yeah.
Talk to me, if you can, for you, about the difference between acting and being a comedian.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That's
well, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see what your answer's like.
The question's interesting. I don't know.
Oh, you fucking lied.
I would say, what is the difference between stand-up and acting
for you?
For me,
yeah.
It's a good question
because doing stand-up is, I mean, hard as hell. It's hard as hell, right? And not that acting is, but they're...
Well, it's certainly a different. It's a different, and it's a different skill set. I would say, because I'll say this. I'm bridging the gap a little bit because I started to get into improv.
Okay.
So I just took an improv class, right?
Nice.
So, actually, I believe we took the same one at Catch.
Oh, did you? You did the one at Catch with Kevin?
Yeah, with Kevin Shimko.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was.
Of course, I love Kevin.
He's fantastic. And it felt more like an acting class than it should.
Sure.
Anything else.
Yeah.
Which was just, it was a delight. Everything about that was great. So for me, the difference, I think, is... Comedy, it's a little bit more about, I think, being yourself, drawing from your own experiences. It actually has made me really kind of shine a light on myself. What do I actually think about things? What do you truly believe about something?
I think
then informs what you're going to talk about and where your funny angle and your funny perspective comes from. I think with acting, I think what comedy did was open up the door to to accepting that it is something that I've wanted to do for a while. Mm-hmm. I've worked around it. I just hadn't actually done it. Getting in front of the camera with John. All these things are very, very closely tied together. Mm-hmm. So I think now I'm sort of trying to be an actor pretty close to that, being in earnest. Mm-hmm. I have taken some acting classes. I'm just struggling to manage my time, I think.
I mean, do you think that that's why so many comedians, though, have had success in film and television? Because they are who they are. They are very self-aware, and mm-hmm. they do know who they are as people and what their viewpoints are, and, you know.
Maybe. I mean, that makes sense to me, mm-hmm. I think. I think also the fearlessness, right? I think that's... Every time I get when I was taking classes and stuff, getting into mm-hmm. a scene with someone, that to me was scarier than going on stage and performing in front of people. Yeah.
Tell me why.
I think because one of the things I like about comedy is that it is me, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody else to blame. Mm-hmm. Nobody else to take credit.
No, right.
I wrote it and mm-hmm. I performed it and I made all the decisions to be here.
Right.
I made every single thing that I do, for better or worse, I've made the decision to do this. I think when it goes to acting in a scene, mm-hmm. you are almost in no control of any of that when you first look at it.
Sure.
You make, you know, obviously you make decisions, but mm-hmm. that to me is just an unfamiliar territory that mm-hmm. I'm trying to learn. What does that mean? What's that mean for me?
Right. How do you take what you already know and excel at as a comedian and as a writer, and how do you transfer that into somebody else's work?
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, I'm assuming that is in some way the thing that every actor is trying to do and trying come to terms with, I think.
Sure.
You know, so, but I love the challenge of it. I'm not afraid of that challenge anymore. Now mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, it's okay for me to want to do this. It's a weird thing. Absolutely. Of just getting permission to feel like it's okay to do it. I don't know. That's sort of where I've come to say that it's okay to want to do this.
To be an actor?
Yeah.
Yeah, why the hell not?
I don't know why it was an issue for me.
Do you ever experience, you know, doubt, nerves, fear when you're doing stand-up of, like, do you ever have the I suck factor?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, certainly.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. Yeah. You're constantly battling that. But there's a weird thing that happens where I know how much work and time I put into this, and I know that this is good.
Mm-hmm.
And some nights it just doesn't work.
Right. But you'd still know that it's good.
Yeah. But then you blame yourself for it not going well.
Okay.
I didn't deliver it the right way.
Right.
I didn't have the energy. This is why I think it's sort of like the camera never lies kind of thing.
Yes.
I think audiences are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing something different, something happened today, they put me in a different space. And when I tell the joke, it feels different.
Sure.
Right. There's a great show. I'm going to forget the name of it. I think it was called Studio 60. Sorkin?
Yeah, the Sorkin short-lived.
Yeah, there's a clip that someone had brought up, and they were like, they did the rehearsal, and this thing mm-hmm. went was great, right? I asked for the butter, and the place went nuts.
Yes.
Then they do the show, and the show's terrible, and comes back, and they say, it's like, why didn't that joke work? He's like, well, I asked for the butter. He's like, yeah, well, this time you asked for the laugh.
Right.
So that sort of... That to me is such an under the surface thing that that happens, and I think that's when you're like, I'm terrible. I didn't. That's why you suck.
There you go. There you go. And does that ever take you down like a rabbit hole of shame or anything like that?
Oh, but I have I've heard great comedians talk about it. I had a show I was opening for. I think his name's James Davis.
Okay,
right? He's a young comedian. He's really good. I think he's got a TV show now. It was one of my first feature gigs here. Mm-hmm. In Charlotte. Second show Friday is always notoriously the worst show. People have just had a long week and they're probably a little drunk. So that's usually, you know, they're usually just a rough crowd.
Okay.
I went and I ate such shit. It was so painful. And I don't mean people weren't going, boo, get off the stage. None of that shit.
Okay.
They were just quiet.
Wow.
I mean, it was so obvious, and just it get worse and worse. And I'm doing 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the only good thing I did was I told myself, you are not leaving the stage until your time is up. You have to do your time. Don't run.
See, that's...
Because you may never come back up on the stage.
That's so brave, though.
Oh,
that's
brave. Didn't feel brave to me, man. It felt like shit. It was like, what am... So I had then comics, again, far better than me. talk about how you were going to just kill yourself, beat yourself up so badly, but you got to keep going up. So after that, I walked off stage and I almost went home and I was like, nope, I got to go stand out there while these people leave. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. The next 24 hours before I went back on stage was one of the worst sort of days that I remember. It was,
wow.
I was depressed.
Yeah.
I was garbage just as a human. I didn't eat. It was.
Right. Well, you didn't deserve food.
No, of course I didn't. No, yeah. You get it. And then that moment was, that feeling stuck with me until I was standing behind the curtain to go on Saturday.
Yeah.
First show.
Right.
I went out. Walked on stage, did my shit, and had a great show.
Doesn't it always seem to happen that way, though? Doesn't it always seem to happen that way?
I don't know.
You eat it, like, big time, and then you come back, the whole get back on the horse thing.
You have to get back on stage, that's right.
Is there anything that you go through? Some kind of conversation that you have with yourself to get yourself back into a place of, hey, that happened yesterday, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, I might listen to go watch a show that I've done before where I do really well.
Right.
And that usually will help a little bit. And be like, okay, wait a second. This is an anomaly. This isn't who you are. You're not bad at this. This was just a bad night.
But that's that's my point, though, is that, I mean, we're talking like degrees.
Sure.
Makes, you know, a pubic hair makes a difference in you having a good show or great show and eating it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's you're not wrong, and I wish that we could know what that is, but sometimes it's below the surface. You're not really sure, and I'm just never sure when it's gonna happen.
Right.
You know, like if I'm just a little tired, my delivery is a little different.
Right.
And you know, you got to be aware of it. You got to put extra into it if you know that's gonna be the case. That's how I feel about it. But yeah, getting back on and doing well the next night, that feeling went away immediately. I did great the next show.
Yep.
And it was just like, what the hell was that? How did that happen yesterday? Oh yeah, it was bad, man. I used Tina Fey's line. You could hear someone put gum in a tissue. That is how. She wrote that in her book, Traveling to the Improv.
Right.
She's like, man, we played in front of quiet rooms, man.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So you did direct a movie, though. You did direct a movie.
I did,
You directed a movie.
Yeah, I did the Monopolion.
Yes.
I am still proud of that movie.
You should be.
Yeah.
Did you write that as well?
YouTube. Yeah. Yeah, it was, I'm super proud of it. I actually did research and shit for that. Mm-hmm. It was the CD underground world of...
Playing Monopoly,
yeah. Games, actually, yeah. Yeah.
That's a great
premise. So the story is about Charles Darrow, who's actually the person who created...
Oh, right.
He created Monopoly, actually stole it.
Oh, wow.
Which is, yeah. So I actually had a treatment I wrote for a feature.
Yes.
And this was like going to be somewhat of an excerpt
A little bit of a Rounders inspired?
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eric Murphy shot it. And that was one of the films I asked him to watch to be like, because we kind of tried to match their look at the tables and how we would go around it and stuff. Eric did an amazing job. It's a beautiful looking film.
It really is. Yeah. It really, really is.
Patrick Keenan and... Tim Parada.
That's right. Pat was in that. I forgot that Pat was in that. I know that Tim was, and Dave Dwyer and Austin.
Austin Herring, who actually directed Pink.
Yes.
Movie I was in. Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah, that's right.
Full circle. But I mean, what made you make that leap, though? Because you had made some, like
PA,
you said.
Yeah.
I'm going to direct something.
I think it was the story I thought was just kind of amazing. I still think that's a movie that could get made. I really love the idea. It was you know, like I said, CD underground world of board games. Like that alone as a concept feels like a Mike Myers movie.
Right.
Yeah, I could just see that. And Charles Darrow and the idea that the top hat is like a, you know, the piece that everybody wants, and it becomes a thing. Anyway, yeah, I could talk all day about but why did I do it? Because I at some point, you got to stop being a crew member and start making your own films. Otherwise, you know, what are we doing? I mean, we laugh all the time that we're, you know, filmmakers. Sometimes we're just flipping burgers, man.
Right.
We just don't go to a building and build something. Where we go somewhere else and we build it. You know,
right.
It's still an industry. It's still a thing, right? So sometimes I don't want to be the guy flipping the burger. I want to be the guy, you know, pulling all the strings and making things happen. And I wanted to write something and shoot something. That was really the first one of any scale that I did. And I got some great people to be in it too.
How big of an undertaking was that for you from start to finish?
That one, I mean, I took that was months of writing and getting up. I mean, we had a proper crew. I mean, that was a bigger production than anything that John and I do now. Mm-hmm. I also learned a lot where, you know, in hindsight, we didn't need to do all that, maybe.
Right.
But it's what I knew at the time, you know. So I spent, you know, several thousand dollars and, like,
really
time and rented a space and did an actual production to get that thing to happen.
Yeah.
And I think I still will hang my hat on that. It's a good film. I think it's pretty funny. And
absolutely.
It's got some drama to it. Drama.
Yeah.
And so that's great.
Did it do okay in the festival circuits? Were there anything?
Yeah, I mean, we sent it to Houston and a couple places, and I won a couple things, but nothing, you know. But
okay.
I also, just being naive and not really knowing anything, mm-hmm. you know, filmmakers, we don't always know, right? Just,
right.
You got to go do it.
Right.
And that's what I learned is the hard part is everything before you shoot it and everything after you shoot it.
Right.
That's where, right. where you're making your movie. Oof. It's not the actual filming part's a piece of cake, you know?
Okay.
That's...
Which is crazy to think about.
It is crazy to think about, but
yeah.
But that's this... It's the easiest part. All you make your movie in prep. You get everything together. You make all those decisions then so that when you get there, it's just pull the trigger.
Right.
And then getting anybody to see it afterwards is... I mean, for some producers will tell you, like, don't make a bad movie because you're going to be making it for the rest of your life. Yeah, they're like guys who are. Someone had an example, and it wasn't Howard the Duck, but it was something like that.
Oh,
and it was just like, you know, people with Howard the Duck, they're still writing checks.
Yeah,
for that piece of shit film, someone still has to write a check for that.
Right, 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 right.
And so you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life. So make movies that you love.
Why didn't you continue to go down that more narrative filmmaking?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I just think that I think I was more interested in writing. It was just a, you know, took a long time. It took a lot of effort, and it was like, boy, I don't doing that over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also think that I was trying to get into being an assistant director.
Okay.
And I think I was working towards that, and then I realized that is not what my skill set is, and so I kind of got away from, you know, a lot of those things. And life, man.
Money.
You know, it's like you figure out how to do everything but what you want to do.
Life, man. Oh, being a grown up. That sucks.
Yeah. It's true, man.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the, you know, most of the time mm-hmm. I make decisions based on, you know, what's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I work in film and I do stand up comedy, and, you know, a lot of those are decisions that don't help me financially and, you know, don't get to see my family as much and blah, 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 blah. But it's fun. I can say that those are usually my decisions. So if you want good advice, don't necessarily come to me. Because I'm going to give you some stupid-ass shit. What do you like to do? Paint. Quit your job. Go paint.
Go paint.
What are you waiting for?
So what's one of the craziest comedy show experiences that you've had? Is there one that stands out where you're like, what the hell? I mean, aside from...
Yeah.
You tanking. I'm not necessarily talking about that. I mean, just where it's like, what did I just experience?
I mean, I would say the Bill Burr show was a really big deal. Having Bill Burr come and perform at the Comedy Zone was kind of crazy. And it was one that I was actually nervous to meet the guy. And,
sure.
You know, I think everyone to some degree gets a little bit of, you know, that
starstruck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was one where I was... You know, I'm still an infant to me in the world of comedy, in my opinion, and he's as big a name as there is.
Sure.
And to get the call to host for them was kind of great, and I knew I wasn't going to get much time. We brought two guys with him, one of which I'm actually still buddies with. He comes through town, and we, you know, have done some shows together.
Yep.
And but for that show, I was upstairs, and my brothers came, my nephew was there. Like, it was a big deal. Packed the place
Absolutely.
Out, 400 plus people.
Wow.
Every comic in town was in the back of the
room. Wow.
I mean, you couldn't get through the crowd.
Sure.
There's so many people.
Yep.
And I'm sitting upstairs at the bar upstairs called La Revolucion.
Okay.
And Ted, the manager of the Comedy Zone, comes up and he says, hey, man, he's like, he's got three guys. He's like, you're just going to read the announcements, man. You're not going to do time. And I was like, all right, you know, that happens sometimes.
Sure. Yep.
They bring their own people, whatever.
Yep.
So I was kind of like, I was bummed, but, you know, I want to be a professional. I was like, I understand. Just let me know when we need to go mm-hmm. say hi to him. So we go down and... go into, they're all in there. I was like, hey, really nice to meet you guys. Like, I'm reading announcements tonight, so anything you guys need me to say.
Yeah.
And Bill Burr's like, hey, hang on, what? You're doing what? It's just announcements, you know, not enough time. They're like, him and the other guys were like, ah, bullshit. Hang on. You got to do some time. You're a comic, right? I said, yeah, definitely. They're like, you need to do some time. Go take a couple minutes, get some jokes out, you know,
that's
whatever.
And then awesome.
Bring up, you know, bring Joe up or whatever. Joe Bartnick was the other guy.
That's
and I'm
kind of
looking at Ted like, yeah, that sounds like I'm doing yep. time. Ted's like, all right.
Wow.
So I went from like a high to a low to a high.
Hell
know?
Yeah.
And so I went out and I did about 3 minutes, right? That's
still.
Like a, you know, New York
right.
set or whatever.
Right.
And everything was like throwing gas on a fire, man.
Wow.
It was, because everyone's ready, man.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone,
yes.
they're just
yes.
as primed as you could get.
Right.
And so was I. And
yeah.
it's like, you go out and you grab your mic, you're like, what's up, Charlotte, everybody? You ready to have fun? Boom.
Right.
They're just like, so excited. So that to me was one of the most exhilarating things I've ever done.
That's incredible.
I did another show recently, Fortune Feimster. You know Fortune Feimster.
I know
she's
the
on
name.
The Mindy Project. She's
yeah,
did
I'm sure
Chelsea
know
Lately.
If I saw
she's,
her. I'm sure I know if I saw
she's
her.
She's actually originally from Gastonia.
Oh,
she's,
right.
She's a lesbian comedian and
okay.
actress and writer. She's
yep.
been writing on a bunch of different shows. And so she comes through, and we had the Charlotte, what's it called? The Queen City Comedy Experience,
right?
The festival. And she was there, and she was doing a show up in Newton Conover, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to open for her. So
cool.
And it was just another, you know, 300 person crowd just amped for a show.
Awesome.
And then to go out and do, you know, 30 minutes clean
wow.
and just kind of feel like $1 million walking out of there.
Oh my
they
God.
Loved it. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. Those
that's
are,
amazing.
Like I said, I was saying it earlier, you do 1,000 of these garbage shows. It's all
right.
just for these, those moments that
right.
you get every once
right.
in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little envious now thinking about having that feeling. You know, I know when you and I talked, when I, you know, just made my most recent venture back into it, I was
yeah.
like, nah, I'm just not feeling that same thing. But I don't second guess my own personal viewpoints on where I exist in it. I am envious that you get to feel that. Man, because I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
That's so great. That's
yeah.
so great. Because there's nothing else like it.
I don't think there is.
I don't think there is either.
Yeah,
there's nothing else like it.
I would definitely love to, you know, I'd love to act more.
Mm-hmm.
I want that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to really get my teeth into
sure.
something to do that, which is, again, it's still a little, I'm not comfortable there yet, but
right.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the future of what that becomes for me.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, there's nothing like going and doing really well in front of a lot of people. You know, I'm trying to think of the most that I've performed in front of, but the idea of performing in front of 1,000 people is like, man.
Oh my God.
That's the stuff, man. I'm excited about that. Prospect.
I can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
I can't even comprehend because there, it's 1,000 people there just for you.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm not doing there. Seinfeld talks about it with, I think, Chris Rock, where there's like, they're like, you think Superman would be good at comedy? Like, he better be. It's the only thing. Like, yeah, they'd give him a couple minutes, you know?
Right, right.
But then it's
right.
like, okay, now
yeah.
make me laugh.
That's right. Let's go.
You'd have to bend the bar,
right.
you know, to get people interested again. That to me is like, that's how fascinating I think the experience of comedy is. It's,
yeah.
5 years in and I'm like,
give me more.
Give me more.
Give me more.
As much as possible.
That's
yeah.
incredible. Well, to me, that says that that's exactly where you're supposed to be then
yeah.
right now. And you're still a co-host of the Comedy Zone podcast
yeah.
as well.
That's right.
Part of the Queen City Podcast Network.
Yeah, we are.
There we are. Yeah.
I'm loving that too, man.
Yeah. Are you doing that every week?
Yeah. We record every Tuesday. It comes out every Thursday.
So that's the Comedy Zone podcast.
Yeah.
Comes
me
out
and
every
Will
Thursday.
Jacobs. Yeah.
Will Jacobs and you.
Yeah. That's fun. That's been an interesting...
yeah.
Yeah. Don't judge me by this conversation, but I'm really interesting on that.
Because
so.
It just seems like, to me, the bottom line for you right now is that all you're doing is creating your own work, creating your own opportunities. And I mean,
yeah.
you know, that's an unbelievable skill set. And the fact that you're doing as much as you are, working as much as you are in every facet right now. I know that you're not doing everything that you want to be doing
yeah.
on the level that you want to be doing it, but damn, man.
Yeah, I'm trying, man.
I mean, that's... do you ever step back and look at it like that and go like, holy crap, look what I've done. Look what I'm doing.
Yeah. That, you know,
I'm responsible for all of this.
Yeah.
You really are.
It's kind of fun. Yeah. Right, it's the journey, not the end. I think
sure.
No matter what happens in the next 5 years, I think I will look at where I'm at right now as
right.
as a time that, oh man, I really loved that time.
Yes.
I loved it because I was, you know, writing scripts, mm-hmm. writing jokes, booking as many shows as I can, and then getting some auditions. The days where I have a show at night, I have to record an audition, and I'm working on something with John, like
right.
where all those things are happening at the same time. There's yep. some moments in there where I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool, man.
It's pretty cool.
This is all right.
It's pretty this cool. Is,
I could be doing a lot of other stupid shit.
Hell yes.
But this is what I'm doing right now. All right. I like it. Yeah.
So where can we find the George and Monty stuff?
You can go to, on Facebook, it's mm-hmm. George and Monty. You could find it there.
Okay.
And then it's also, we have them up on my website, jasonallenking.com.
Sure. You've got some of your stand-up clips there as well.
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, and Monopolian's there too, if anyone ever wants to watch that.
And you should take the time to watch it. You really should. It's it's quite fun and entertaining. I don't know. Should we end with like a lightning round of questions?
Sure. Yeah. What do you got, man?
And there are right and wrong answers. I've never done this before.
And then I'll get electrocuted with lightning yeah, if I get it wrong.
Hold on. Let me clip these on your nipples right
okay.
now.
Okay. They fit nicely.
What's the funniest joke you ever told and who told you it was funny?
Oh, God. What?
Go.
The funniest joke. All right. Here's what, one of the earlier jokes that I did that I'm still proud of.
Okay.
Is... I'm gonna do
it.
This.
Yeah, do
All
it.
Right,
do
we're
it,
doing
do
it.
It. Do it.
It's not. It's not a long joke, but it's not short either. All right. So, do you hear that Canada's getting a lot of grief because they are eating horses up there? That's mm-hmm. actually a thing I read in the news, and I was like, I'm not saying we should eat horses, but you know, I have some follow up questions. Like here, like KFC can't legally be called food anymore. Somehow, it's crossing the line to eat what's basically a very athletic cow. Right. Think about it. Horses are in better shape. They got nicer hair. They're always fussing about their shoes. It sounds like horses are just gay cows, actually. that's the joke. So that was like a proper sort of joke that, I don't know. It's just a weird joke that
I like it. If you could have any food in the world, why would you eat it?
Oh, my God. Why would I eat it? Hopefully because I was hungry. I don't know. I could afford it.
What was your first kiss like and were you involved? There are right and wrong
there
answers.
There are,
to these.
I know. I was definitely there, and it was mushy.
It
was a mushy kiss.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm not sure I do either. I certainly didn't at the time.
Oh, man. All right, now don't give me specific dates just because it's probably going to be a few weeks before this comes out. What,
sure.
Do you have some dates coming up in the next couple of months?
Yeah, let's see. You know, this I'm doing a show the night before New Year's at the Grove Park Inn, which I'm really
oh,
excited
nice.
About.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be a real, real swanky show.
Hell yeah.
Sid Davis is on that. He's a headliner in town. He's great.
Who's that? I'm
Sid
sorry.
Sid Davis.
Sid Davis. Okay.
Very funny Charlotte guy, too. And then I'm doing shows in Waco, Texas. Little Rock, Arkansas.
Got some Waco jokes in there?
Yeah, sure. Of course I do. yeah, I've got shows lined up. I'm in Oregon in like... March, like the
okay,
I'm doing a whole bunch of shows. I got a show in Wisconsin. I'm going back to Wisconsin, so those are the ones that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
It's kind of spreading my wings because you never know where you know how people are going to respond to your material depending on where you go. Yeah,
and people can find dates on your website as
yeah.
well. You have
yeah.
all that listed
and
on there.
I only do them like about 2 months out,
yeah,
3 months at most,
right?
But yeah, it's jasonallenking.com. It's on the front page. There's a couple articles.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Well, man, thanks so much for coming and doing this.
You kidding me? Thanks
I'm
for having me.
I'm so glad that we got a chance to finally do this.
Heck yeah, man.
You have been listening to Jason Allen King on You May Have Seen. Thanks so much for listening. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you'd like to leave a comment or review, that's always nice. You can also email us at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com if you have a comment or a question, and we'll give you a shout-out in the next episode.